204 DGS on KMOX. If you're listening to the classic 1120 AM, you can get much, much better sound by going to 98.7 FM, which if you're like in St. Louis proper, I always say, like, if you're going to drive from the Arch to the Boone Bridge on Highway 40, it's going to sound great. Go down south a little bit, go north a little bit. It's going to get a little scratchier because it's what we call a translator. It's not like a full big boy station, but we have it, 98.7. And then my favorite way is on the Odyssey app because it sounds stereo perfect. I mean, you can't get better than the sound when you go to the Odyssey app. You can also download our podcast there, which we thank you for the millions, literally, of podcast downloads we get every year. It's a big deal, makes us look really good, and it's not even something we ask you to do that much, but you do it anyway, and we appreciate that. And podcast that I did for Odyssey should be dropping next couple weeks or so. We'll let you know about that.
Got to be within the... I mean, it's probably already taken, because I believe some of it aired on Sunday,
it
right?
It did, yeah, so, on Friday. On Sunday evening.
Yeah, so it's already ready to go, so whenever they...
Cool. Tell me about that one, Dave. I saw an email about it, but I wasn't clear.
That so I did two. I think we may do a third episode of this series. It's the Odyssey has two basic causes, one being the environment, the other being mental health, and specifically suicide prevention. And so about a year ago, when one of the big muckety-mucks found out about how I lost my brother, they reached out to me and said, would you like to be involved? And I said, yes. And so I just kept saying yes to everything. And eventually they said, well, we're going to be doing this big national podcast. Would you like to be the host? I'm like, I would love to be the host.
That's great.
So we recorded two of those hour-long. One is on men and mental health and suicide prevention and special challenges that men have. And the other was on the military. Mm-hmm. And so when they put those all together and edit it up, then they'll be dropping those pretty soon.
That's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would not mind doing a once every couple of weeks podcast on mental health, because Lord knows there's plenty to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be talking to Odyssey about that. More importantly, Rach, ducks, Buc-ee's.
Okay, a man has been banned from Buc-ee's after bringing his service duck inside of their store in Tennessee. So he, yeah, thank you, Sue.
I kind of love
I hate this guy. I hate this guy.
Oh, my gosh. Look, we're just talking about mental health. He needs a service duck.
I think he's fine.
Why a duck? Why?
That is a good question, Sue, and I don't know the answer to that. But he brought his duck named Wrinkle into the...
It's just getting
right
better.
That's kind of cute.
It's getting better.
I'm back on this side now.
You're on your own, Rach.
They shopped around and received plenty of positive attention from other shoppers who wanted to pet Wrinkle and ask about her. She was inside of a stroller for most of the visit. So he had this animal in a stroller, and he was... pushing her around.
Is that a duck in your stroller?
I thought you said Duc-ee's. I thought you said the place was called Duc-ee's. I'm sorry, guys.
So after they entered the store initially, they were approached by an employee who told Mr. What's his name? His name is Justin Wood. They told Mr. Wood that service dogs were the only animals allowed inside
now,
the store.
See?
Well, yeah. I think they want like legitimate...
You mean not a creature in a stroller?
Correct.
Right. The stroller.
But uh-huh. Devil's advocate, what's the difference between a dog in a stroller and a duck in a stroller?
But service dogs generally aren't in strollers in my experience, in the world.
But a stroller's afraid of dogs.
A clue out there to anybody who needs emotional support or anything like that, the stroller delegitimizes you a little bit.
I agree with
you. If you are pushing a... duck, a duckling, a froggy,
a froggy, Dave.
Yeah, a tiny kitten.
So are you open to anything other than a trained service canine? What if the duck were on a leash?
Well, that comes up in the story.
Let's hear it.
I would prefer if it was on a leash.
So they were approached by three different employees while shopping in the store who all said, I'm sorry, you can't have this duck in here. And each time Justin Wood said, it's a service duck. And finally they're like, look, it's only service dogs. If this is a duck that can fly away and it can fly into our rafters and cause major problems.
Yeah.
If you had a service dog, we would make you keep the dog on a leash. And so he's like, okay, so can I put her on a leash? And at that point, would put Wrinkle on an imaginary leash.
Okay. Oh, good.
And the duck continued to follow him around the store. So I don't know if it was like, here, no one can see it, but it's a real leash. Like, I hate this guy.
Mr. Wood.
Yeah.
Rachel, yeah, Mr. Wood doesn't sound like the best guy in the world.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
And see,
I think Wrinkle's getting a bad name because she's hanging out with Mr. Wood.
And see, this reminds me of the put a damn diaper on it conversation with the horse, the service horse that was poop. Well, that was the horse, right?
Okay.
Remember?
Just that
was pooping
hit that ass a little harder.
Yes.
But this just reminds me of the when you do stuff like this, it to use that word again, it delegitimizes all the other people who actually need this stuff and who need
I'm curious, though, about your lines for all of you. Because, look, I'm not Mr. Service Dog. I've certainly gone off when people were bringing crocodiles on airplanes and peacocks and things like that. But I also think that if someone has, and we keep saying the word legitimate, so we should decide whether that means diagnosed by a professional or not. I'm way more worried about a plane than I am Buc-ee's. Now, do I want a duck pooping on my stuff? No, but I'm open-minded at least.
But Rachel brings up a good point, or at least it was in the story. This duck could fly into the rafters at any point. I mean, this is not a good indoor animal to have with you.
I'm wondering what the service is that the duck is providing. Because there's a difference between
it's
a service.
Not a butler.
Right. But there's a difference between a service animal who is serving you and helping you live your life. And then there's an emotional support
there
animal.
You go.
Now, that's what it sounds like he was trying to do.
Exactly. It seems like he has an emotional support duck.
I wonder if he called it that, if they'd have been like, okay, that's fine.
Probably not, because animals have to be on a leash and they have to be service animals.
Right.
So he's just fully breaking the rules, but he thinks that since he's being cute and he has his little invisible leash, he should be allowed to take his duck anywhere.
And my problematic thought on it, and if you guys want to tweet at me or post on Facebook about how I'm wrong about this, that's fine. I welcome the conversation.
You just buried a mouse alive over the weekend. So.
Yeah, let's hear what you have to say.
But I feel like if you can't go through the gas station without having a duck with you, maybe you just
shouldn't go through the gas station.
Maybe you just shouldn't go through the gas station. Maybe you need to find somebody else. I mean, I don't want to be like, oh, you got bigger problems, but you got bigger problems. If you need to have the duck, if you need to have a duck in a stroller to go get jerky from the jerky wall at Buc-ee's, maybe you should find a new system.
I think Rachel's
maybe that's wrong of me.
And that he thought he was cute.
Oh, yeah.
He thought he was cute and he was going to get that done.
Oh, it's adorable. I'm sure the duck is extremely cute.
What if he hadn't been cute Mr. Wood and he'd have been legitimate Mr. Smith, who's really afraid to be out in the open without this duck Wrinkle, who he has raised since she was a baby, but he really wants some beef jerky.
Everyone has limitations that they have to work around in life. There are things that I like to do that, you know, I mean, like right now I would like to be out in, well, maybe not today because it's cold, but like on any given work day, wouldn't you like to be outside enjoying the day?
Not me.
But you have to be indoors doing your job. Like sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do.
Ding, ding, ding.
And
yes.
That's how I feel about the emotional service.
What if
animals?
I was only comfortable going to Quick Trip with Andrew in a stroller?
Yeah, I'm the emotional support.
Well, that is cute.
And I have to quack.
Like, what's his name? Wrinkle.
He's on an invisible leash.
And I'm like, oh, no, not this again.
So this guy was still allowed to shop at the Buc-ee's. He even made his purchases. And then as he was leaving, he was informed by an employee that the cops were outside.
Okay. So in the 40s, this would have been like, hey, get out of here. I'll show you the back of me hand.
Yeah.
Did he say me hand, really?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Okay.
Should we be closer to that than emotional support ducks?
That's a good question, I think.
Like in the Old West, when they'd throw you out and the doors would swing.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have tried it then.
That's a good point.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There is no way he thought it was cute.
No one's taking a duck in a stroller into a bar in the 40s.
No, they're not.
You're not leaving that bar.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I have long thought that the era of the customer's always right has passed. That left, I think, with,
COVID, probably.
COVID and, you know, getting rid of all customer service people and how, you know, it's impossible to call a customer service line and actually get any help. So I actually think we're kind of lashing back towards the back of me hand days versus the duck on in a stroller days that we had in like the 2010s.
So we're kind of tired of it.
I think, yeah, I think we're tired of ducks in a stroller.
We just get so fed up.
Right. Yep. And we stopped being like, well, of course, you know, as long as you shop and buy things, you can keep the duck in the stroller. And now we're going like, I don't care if I ever see you again. Get the stupid duck out of the gas station.
Well, he's banned from all Bucky's locations.
That's a fate worse than death.
He's banned.
A fate worse than death.
Goodbye, Justin Wood and your little duck named
For
Wrinkle.
For real, what do you think is going through Wrinkle's mind? Is Wrinkle just like, I wish I were in a pond right now.
It's like I'm in a living hell.
Yeah.
Wrinkle is thinking fish. Like it's a duck. It doesn't.
Thank you.
A duck is not capable of the higher thoughts
He's
of like.
He's not thinking, I hope Mr. Wood's okay.
I'm having a great time. Yeah. The duck is not thinking I'm having a great time.
You okay? You okay? It's fine. You okay?
Hey, this is all. You're doing good. You're doing great. You're really killing it today.
Focus for me.
Hey, don't listen to them, okay? Everyone loves that I'm here. That's just the. Don't listen to the haters.
Just say it's an invisible leash. Put it on me. Good. Get the jerky. Let's go. There was a guy. This is a true story. That had an anger parrot. Remember this story?
Yeah.
It's kind of a DGS classic.
I do remember.
And he would go to homeless shelters because he and the parrot were homeless. And the parrot, I may get this a little bit wrong. I think it was in the RFTs. So you can look it up. But the parrot was a little jerk.
Yeah.
And he, the guy had anger issues. No. I apologize.
The parrot had
anger issues? No. Let me start again.
Okay.
The guy had anger issues. And the parrot would keep him centered. And so he would like, you know, someone would, you know, use his stuff or sit in a chair where he wanted to sit down and have some chili. And he would start raging. And swear to God, this is true. The parrot would be like, settle it down. It's fine. And then he'd be like, okay. And they're like, the parrot can't stay. And he'd be like, the parrot's like, it's okay, I'll be fine.
Yeah, don't worry about me.
It's a true story.
So that's a true emotional support animal.
It happened here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And
everybody will remember this.
Did you Google it?
I'm still trying to find the story,
but the story is
the story is 100% real because I remember us talking about this. We talked about it for like two straight days.
Wow.
Man, I'd love to have it anger parrot.
I know you would.
Only for me, it'd have to make me more angry. I'm not aggressive enough. It'd be like, come on, find your balls.
You're going to let him talk to you like that? Do you want the cracker or not?
You said Whopper Jr. I know. It's fine. A Whopper's fine. An anger parrot.
Parrot's like, tell her you don't want to talk during your massage.
Do you need more anger or less? Because those are two completely different birds. We slipped up and gave Mr. Clever the less. Now he can't get waited on anywhere. Oh, man. You know how every day something like October 16th is National DGS Day?
Mm-hmm.
Today's National Sloppy Joe Day. What's your call? It's a great separator of people.
I like a sloppy Joe.
I like a Joe.
Love a sloppy Joe.
Love them. And I like it whenever you put a bunch of sugar in the sloppy Joe and it's sweet.
Hello, Grafton.
I like them all, but I really like the sugary ones.
I could be convinced. I had something sloppy Joe-ish earlier that was not very good, and I should not be surprised. So at about 7 o'clock this morning, I was at Quick Trip. And they had something on the roller.
What the hell are you doing there?
By himself on the roller was something called a chili dog sausage.
It's 7 a.m.
Yeah. And so
I think I know why he was alone.
It's a sausage link.
Andrew.
And it was like chili dog flavored. It had beans in it.
Wait a minute.
In the dog?
Stop
in
it.
The dog? Yeah.
Inside the hot dog.
I swear
beans
it had
beans.
I swear I took
chili.
I took a bite. There was no chili. There was like chili coating the outside. It tasted like, I mean, I'll be honest, you know, I love Quick Trip, but it tasted like the worst chili dog you've ever had.
Wait a minute. How did they create that? Did they stuff a hot dog with beans?
Oh, Sue, the technology, the leaps in technology they are making these days.
I don't understand.
It would blow your mind. Yeah, it would blow your mind. But no, I felt like I had to try the chili dog
sausage.
Did the
beans grow that way?
Well, that was the thing. When I took a bite and I saw what really looked like a whole bean in the middle of this sausage, I'm like, how does that even work? How would you even do that?
So it was more existential crisis for you.
Yeah, and it also didn't taste very good. And it also made me feel really bad after I ate it.
Sloppy Joes were, I don't think, if we had them at home, I don't remember it. We had weird stuff. Like, it wasn't from our ethnicity, but just weird decisions made by my parents. pork chops and Spanish rice. That was a big one for us. Then we would have sauerkraut, which was the only thing I was allowed to not eat and not get punished.
Nice.
What other weird things?
Wait, did you have a sloppy Joe or no? What did you say?
No, but we had them at school all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Which was rocking.
Yeah, we had sloppy Joes like once a week at our household. That was like a staple food. My mom makes a really, I don't know what she does. It doesn't taste like the Manwich kind.
Same here. My
she
mom
has some
used kind of,
I know it involves like ketchup somehow, maybe like ketchup and barbecue sauce, something mixed up.
Mr. Fancy Pants.
I know.
And homemade Joes.
I mean, out of this world.
What was your favorite
Joes.
And least favorite dish at home and at school?
Gosh. I really didn't like my mother, both my parents love stromboli, which is just sort of like.
Sounds like something you'd like.
Nowadays, I love it. But back when I was a kid, I really didn't enjoy it. We had that about once a week. Ooh, meatloaf. I hate meatloaf. I still do.
I don't understand.
It's
just a big burger.
Thank you. It's just a big burger.
Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't enjoy it. Now, I haven't tried it in many years, so maybe if I did try it now, I would enjoy
it. When I was in grade school, you only got dessert, and they had kick-ass desserts, because it was all a bunch of grandmas working there when I was a kid. So they had, like, you know, funeral pie, and, like, you know, like a Texas sheet cake is made best by fingers that will be dead within 5 years.
Sure.
I'm just saying. And so
that's in the Bible.
It was Texas sheet cake day. And the lady was especially old. She had like one blue vein run through her. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to eat everything on my plate. These guys are shaking their heads. I'm going to eat everything on my plate. And it happened to be buttered wax bean day. So
I
had to put these suckers down. You never had a buttered wax bean?
No.
Oh, then whatever else has happened to you in your life, it's fine. And it's terrible, terrible consistency, terrible taste. But I ate them. Why? Because a dying woman was making Texas sheet cake. So I ate it all. I even drank my milk, legit drank it. Didn't pour it down my pants or anything like that. And I went up there with my empty tray and I go, may I please have some Texas sheet cake? And the lady does this. I can still see her face in my mind. She looks around. She goes, oh, looks like we're all out of cake. Here's some buttered bread.
This is a villain origin story.
She handed me buttered bread to go on top of my buttered wax beans. And I said, could I maybe just bank this and get a dessert tomorrow? And they laughed at me.
This is a hideous tale.
You go in front of a judge and you say, this is why I did it, Your Honor. That judge is letting you go. Whatever the crime, the judge is letting you go. This is a villain origin story.
I know. Texas sheet cake, Dave.
Oh, ooh, yum, yum.
It's got that sour cream in there.
She was so near death.
Oh, stop.
Oh, it would have been so good. Yum.
You're like, what about tomorrow? And she's like, tomorrow's not a promise.
Yeah. This is my last cake, brother.
I don't know.
Like, what are you having tomorrow? She's like, a funeral, probably.
Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
You guys. 234 DGS on KMOX. Let's do some audio. What do we got?
Well, we want to talk to Brad Young. This is what we want to do.
I'm so mixed up. I get so discombobulated when I'm going to talk to Brad. Hold on, let me. Okay. He's cute. What can I say? Yeah. Hello, Brad Young.
And not the first time I've heard that.
No, not the first time you heard it today, my sexy friend. Okay, so a couple things to talk about. First of all, Donald Trump and where he stands with paying off his judgment. And then the Supreme Court talking about who can do what with social media. So as I understand it, former President Trump's attorneys have filed something saying, no go.
Not going to happen. There's reports that he's been searching through his sofa, you know, looking for lost pocket change. It's not going to happen. So he's at this point, the verdict was for $464 million in that civil fraud case. And in order to continue on with an appeal, he has to post a bond. Now, just for listeners, a bond is something typically issued by banks or insurance companies, and it basically says, we agree to pay this amount in the event the appeal is not winnable by the in this instance, the defendant. So he couldn't get it. Now, he got an appeal bond from Chubb Insurance for the $90 million verdict in the Gene Carroll case. Mm-hmm. He did get an appeal bond for that. But in this instance, nobody's going to do that. It's too high. And so he either has to come up with $464 million by next week, or the state of New York starts to take his property.
And so, Brad, if someone at our level gets hit with a $100,000 judgment and we say, well, we don't have $100,000 cash, they'll garnish our wages, they'll seize a bank account, they'll come repossess a car or something like that. When you owe $500 million, is it the same thing just on a larger scale?
Well, he doesn't get paid any wages, so there's nothing to garnish for wages. He's going to be ownership. He has ownership interests in lots of companies, lots of property, but it's not like getting paid a wage. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think the only wage, now here's an idea. The only wage that he gets is his pension from being president, and that's $400,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know. I've never obviously had a chance to research this. I don't know if you can file a lien or garnish a president's wages. I don't know if possible. Maybe they could do that. But more realistically, what they're going to do is they're going to file liens on buildings. Mm-hmm. And they're going to, at this point, they could even move to foreclose a building that he owns in order to get that money from the state of New York. Now, let's do two quick contingencies. If this goes up on appeal and he wins, then the state of New York would have to either give the money back or mm-hmm. give him back the building. Wow. And if he doesn't win on appeal, then they would get to keep the building or keep the money.
And but if he can't, okay, so he has to put up the bond to appeal. And let's say that he does not appeal and they foreclose on Trump Towers and they sell it for $1 billion and they take $500 million and they give him a check for $500 million. And
right.
At that point, could he say, now I want to appeal, or is his chances to appeal gone?
No, he can continue to appeal. The whole point of the appeal bond is to stop the foreclosure of assets.
I see.
Now, his appeal will continue. He's already filed the appeal.
I see.
And the appeal isn't contingent upon him posting the bond. The only purpose of posting the bond is to stop the foreclosure on property.
I gotcha. Okay. So his legal rights will continue, but either he's going to give them $500 million or they're going to take $500 million. Then we'll see how the appeal goes.
That's exactly right.
Wow. Learning a lot here. What do you think? I mean, how's it hit you as a lawyer and just as a guy, as a citizen?
Well, I've filed lots of appeals. I've had to get lots of appeal bonds over the years. It's typically not difficult. And in some of my Illinois cases, I only get 2 weeks to come up with an appeal bond, or in those instances, the judgments my appeal is dismissed. Mm-hmm. That's not the case here. So it's not typically hard, but I'm not dealing with $500 million cases. So it doesn't surprise me, number one, that it's hard because of the number. And number two, Chubb, who issued the appeal bond on the E. Jean Carroll case, got massive, massive blowback on this because of their issuing the appeal bond. And yeah. So I can see why, from a PR perspective, nobody wanted to touch this.
Yeah.
And so he probably called a few banks and tried to borrow money. That didn't work. So at this point, I think you're going to see the state of New York foreclosing on some Trump properties.
And so, and they can only foreclose on properties that are within the state of New York, correct?
That's true. And only properties that he owns individually. So there could be an issue here if all the properties that he owns are in the names of either corporations that are publicly traded, or in the names of his kids or spouses or whoever. At that point, it could be very, very difficult for New York to find property that only he owns. That could be a challenge.
So that's good for him in one way, but then would the $112,000 per day interest keep running at that point?
That's good money if you can get it.
Yes.
And we're talking, that's DGS kind of money right there.
Right, real close.
Very close. So, yeah, those interest charges would continue throughout the duration. And, where does that end? It ends probably with bankruptcy. But then in bankruptcy, you've got a whole other host of issues. So there's a lot of words for this, but FCC bans us from using them.
Yes, but none of them are good for Donald Trump, though. This is just
none.
He's in a bad situation. The Supreme Court is not known for taking up light matters, but it seems like this court has taken up a lot of things that are very important and very timely and of today. Talk about what they're looking at with social media.
Yeah, there's a case that's being argued today. It's called the Murthy case, M-U-R-T-H-Y. And it essentially boils down to this. The state of Missouri is one of the plaintiffs, and there were lawsuits filed because under the Biden administration, they instructed, and the evidence has shown this, that they instructed social media companies like Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and others to remove content that was being posted by conservatives, remove content that dealt with the Hunter Biden laptop, remove content related to the origin of COVID and other issues. But what I find it most interesting about this, and we've talked about this with other cases, but as any good lawyer knows, there's something called standing. You have to have a dog in the fight. You've got to have a pony in the race in order to file a lawsuit. And in this instance, the Biden administration has taken the position that the state of Missouri wasn't censored at all through Facebook, nor were any of these other states that are involved in the litigation. So there's a real issue here regarding standing. Putting that aside, the question becomes, can the government instruct social media companies to remove content? Doesn't that violate the First Amendment? And ostensibly, I think it does if there is standing.
And Brad, you know, typically you have the left-leaning justices on one side, the right-leaning on the other, maybe a peacemaker in the middle. How would you expect this one to shake out politically?
Well, the last two decisions we've received from the Supreme Court were unanimous. So from that perspective, it does show that the court can come together when it comes to some of these issues. Mm-hmm. On this issue, I would not expect a unanimous issue, but I also would not expect necessarily your standard 5-4, 6-3 ideological split, because free speech is an issue that matters to all people of all political persuasions.
Yeah.
And you might see a different breakdown of the justices like we saw in a recent decision where Amy Coney Barrett sided with the liberals in one area. You could see a mixture of this here because of the nature of the dispute.
I doubt you had time to read former Justice Breyer's think piece.
I did, actually. I read it this morning.
Yeah, tell everyone about that.
Well, he retired in 2022, and he came out with a book. He's got a book, and basically the book comes down to this issue of how do we interpret the Constitution? Do we go by the original intent, which is called originalism, or do we apply the words with their present-day meaning? And he kind of takes, well, not even kind of, he takes a very serious slap at some of the conservative justices by trying to interpret the Constitution in the context of when it was written rather than interpreting it today. So that's his perspective. The flip side is you have to interpret it in the way in which it was initially written, because otherwise, if you interpret it with today's meaning, then it doesn't mean the same thing, and can rights under the Constitution evolve over time? These are really big, weighty intellectual issues that really the court hasn't resolved, because all the justices have a different perspective on that.
Then I understand he also said that Sotomayor should retire now so that Joe Biden could appoint a justice.
Yeah, he did. He said that in an interview. And basically, we had the same argument when Ruth Bader Ginsburg mm-hmm. was on the court, and people were urging her to step down. She said, no, I feel great, until she didn't. And so you've got that exact same argument playing out now with Justice Sotomayor.
And what would happen if they did that? Do the Republicans have the means to block it the way they did before when it was Merrick Garland?
Yeah, I don't see that now, because you have a Democrat majority in the Senate right mm-hmm. now. And so it would be very difficult. Now, I will tell you this. Mitch McConnell is known, he's legendary as the master of rules. He knows the rules. He has them memorized, even except, you know, when he freezes during a speech or something. But other than that, he knows the rules. And so there might be rules there I'm not aware of, but it would be difficult because the Democrats control the Senate.
All right. Thanks very much, Brad. That was great. Thank you.
My pleasure, guys.
251 DGS. Now we do audio, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then maybe Brad was back on.
So we can start with yours, Dave. You have some audio for Mike Pence here.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what you grabbed, but they did an interview with Mike Pence, and he had some, he usually doesn't say much interesting. He really doesn't. He's a very, very careful politician, but he said a couple interesting things.
We know, because we have learned in testimony since, that it's believed that the president was aware that people in that crowd, that some of them might have been armed. and that he then said, we're going to march to the Capitol and sent them there anyway. He knew you were at the Capitol, that lawmakers were at the Capitol. What do you make of that?
Well, but the president's words were reckless, and his actions were reckless.
No, wasn't that interesting?
Well, I mean, it's
pretty
it's,
Mike Pence after all.
Yeah, I mean, I think it. I always thought that it speaks to. I think that people give Mike Pence more of a pass than maybe he deserves. I mean, he did the right thing technically, but he also, I think, enabled a lot of stuff leading up to that.
Isn't it a weird time? Like, yeah, I want to say put Trump aside, but you can't because it's directly because of Donald Trump. But isn't it a crazy time we live in when people who identify as conservatives don't like Mike Pence? To me, Mike Pence is like, go get me encyclopedia, look up the word Christian conservative, and you're going to see a picture of Mike Pence.
Yeah. Well, it's just like normal Democrat and a progressive. I mean, that doesn't necessarily go together anymore. It's kind of fractured us.
It's at least four parties.
Yeah.
Really is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the independents and RFK Jr.
Yep. Yep. What did you think? I know you're kind of a fan of his. What did you think of the whole Aaron Rodgers deal?
I think that's probably just to garner some attention.
Yeah.
I don't know that
it
would be him, but it did work.
Yeah. That's what I said, too. Like, last week, everyone was freaking out about it. I'm like, I don't think that that's going to work out. I think that's a headline grabber, personally.
Well, they have to work for those right now. So.
Was Mark excited, though? I know he loves Aaron Rodgers. Was he
excited? He said, I'm all in.
So Andrew has a bunch of audio here. I'll just let you pick what you'd like to play. Andrew, do you want to play this Star Wars sound that's been on here for like...
I actually want to go with the Spirit Realm one.
Okay.
Because that kind of ties into me to the Wrinkle the Duck conversation a little bit. This is a guy on like a podcast. Because people just, I mean, they just say anything these days and it takes off and people notice it and then they start thinking it too.
And by the way, Wrinkle the Duck is a...
Emotional support duck
who a gentleman took to a Buc-ee's and both he and Wrinkle got their asses kicked out.
Yes, and this is a guy saying that if your kid is scared of a monster under the bed, you should actually take that very seriously because maybe the kid can see monsters.
Never had that
thought
in my head.
So many kids are like, there's a monster under my bed. And parents are like, it's just your imagination. Just go to sleep. Mm-hmm. We're tired. Just go to sleep. It's not real. I'm like, well, what if it is? Mm-hmm. What if it is, and you are just so desensitized to the spirit realm that there is something under their bed? And maybe it's just their imagination. Maybe it's not, though. And so, that was kind of a rule for us. It was like, maybe don't say that. Mm-hmm. Don't say it's not real. Don't say it's not, it's just your imagination. Don't squash that thing, because this may be a gift. This may be them.
We're probably not going to know in any given situation where there really is a monster under the bed or not, right? So as just from a parenting standpoint or from as a kid standpoint, putting yourself back there, which you want to hear from your parents? Don't worry about it. You're totally safe. There's nothing under your bed.
I'll tell you what I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear, okay, let me check because
Thank
there
you.
Might be a monster
that's
from
what
the spirit realm.
Thank
that's
you.
Like,
yeah.
That's going to send my anxiety through the dang roof.
Like, if I'd have done that and my mom would have been like, could be your dead grandma. I'd just been like,
yeah, I don't want to hear, son, I believe you have powers and you can see things that normal humans can't.
They've manifested themselves by creating a monster under the bed.
You know, the more scared you are, the more monsters show up.
That's right.
Have a good night. See you in the morning.
My goodness.
No kidding.
Terrible.
Thank you, Sue. Appreciate it.
Thank you.